Yes, it is. Praise God. Well, Lord, we just lift up the outreach to you. Lord, we are in biblical times. We are in times now that will be recorded down in history of the annals of heaven because of the things that you're fixing to do and that you've already started. And we praise you, Father, for everything that's recorded and brought into being. Father, we just ask for understanding and the things that you are doing and the things that you're fixing to do. And we thank you for your warnings from the about what the enemy's doing. And we praise you, Father, for all that's being done in your name. And we praise you, Father, for giving us great bold faith. And we know that we get that faith by getting rid of self and allowing Jesus to come alive in us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you for this open heaven you've given us too, that tonight when we pray, it's going to be an awesome time because everybody's going to stop what they're doing and they're going to focus in on the prayers that are being prayed. And we know that when we do that, we're in one accord and you're going to answer. And we praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yes, Nick.
Yeah, my dad's up north right now, fishing, and he got stung in the nose by a yellow jacket.
Who was this that got stung in the nose?
My dad.
Oh, man. Well, you want to pray for him? Or you want to let him suffer? Come on, I know you love your dad. Come on, pray for him, and then
yeah,
I'll
I'll
help
pray
you.
for him. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift up my dad to you just for a quick healing and quick recovery. In Jesus' name and amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Nick, Lord, and we count it as so that swelling's gone down, the pain's gone. He don't have anything but an itchy nose in Jesus' name. No, he don't have an itchy nose even. Praise God. And it's all gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing him in Jesus' name. Yeah, Vanita.
Well, just to add to that, I have a praise report. He did finally catch two keeper fish, and he was very excited about that. This is after he got stung by the bee five times.
Oh,
the
my
yellow.
Gosh.
So
Five
five
times?
stings. Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he was like, I got stung five times, but that doesn't catch up with your record. You got stung 10 times. I did. So, like, sorry, Frank, you just didn't cut it.
Oh, my. That's awful. Thank you, Lord, for taking all the pain out of him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
And letting
Glory
him
be
catch
to God.
The fish.
And he caught the fish. Praise God. We're going to have fish tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? That Megan, that's Megan, isn't it? Hey, Megan. Okay. Everybody get that email I just sent them a while ago? Did you look? I'm just saying, did you look? Because I think I'll go over some of it tonight, if not all of it. Thank you, Lord. Let's see here. Where do we want to go tonight? Has anybody got anything they want to ask or testimony or praise report? Comment? Yeah, Joe.
Morning, everybody.
Hey, Joe.
I need to give just only not a praise, prayer request, but just a thanksgiving, just for Lord to help me to sustain or to keep in the word and give me grace to understand and be just being a loving God to me for showing me, to do the right thing at the right time. Thank you. That's all I want to say.
Amen. Lord, we just believe with you that everybody here believes with you. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that I didn't understand it all, but I'm going to try here. Did you hear it all, dearly? Would you go ahead and pray and believe with heart?
Yeah. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Joe and in all of us, Lord, that we all stay in the Word.
Yeah.
And we're all listening to you, Lord, and doing what you're telling us to do. And we just keep submitted to you, Lord. And we just pray you for grace to do that and strength and diligence and help us to avoid and fight against all the distractions and put you first.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I pray that for myself too and everybody here. In Jesus' name. Distractions, distractions, distraction. And the enemy likes to do that, doesn't he? He really enjoys to distract you off the word. But Lord knows that we need it. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody did not get what I just sent them a while ago in the email? Okay, that's great. Everybody got it. All right. Anybody got anything they want to add tonight? I think what we'll do, yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just want to praise the Lord. This is the week that we are finishing up our project, and this is when all the pieces come together, all the final inspections, and it seems like the whole
Randy Arnie
past
excuse me
past few weeks it's one thing after another that has gone wrong. It's like, you know, we've gotten, you know, the place just about finished and all the ceilings and all the painting done. And then we had a sprinkler leak and leaked down through a floor and you know, destroyed a ceiling, and you know, we had to tear the thing out and redemo and all the and put everything back together, and so it was that happened in two places in the building. So it just seemed like every day you come in and you would take you know, one step forward and then take about three steps backwards, you know. So it was very kind of stressful, because it was just, and I was praying, you know, asking the Lord every day, you know, praying for the situation, you know, the strength and the grace to go through this and to overcome as he overcame, and just go through the whole process and take everything down ahead of me, type thing. And every day it always worked out. It was, you know, it was always, you know, in this type of business that I'm in, it's, you literally feel like you are driving the locomotive full speed down the train tracks, and you can see just up ahead, they're still building the tracks. And you feel that you have to keep the pedal to the metal, just going as fast as you can and stay on that schedule and just hope those tracks are, you know, are built constructed by the time you get to them. And it's that type of tension that it just all of the time is just a constant, it seems like. And I remember years ago, when I was seeking the Lord, and this is when I was a young Christian, and I remember, I think I posed the question or just the thought to the Lord, you know, it would sure be nice if I could just have all of this time for study and seeking you and whatever, like my pastor does, because he didn't have to go out and, you know, do a job, but I mean, you know, do other outside work and then come back and, you know, try to walk with you through the process, you know. And the Lord at that time, I remember, I wish I would have written that down, but it's like he hit me with the thought that his life was to be taken into life, wasn't to be taken out and, you know, take over here and set in this compartment of your life and do we're going to do Jesus over here, and then we're going to go out into the world and we'll live our regular life out there, and then we'll come back and we'll do this Jesus life, you know. And, you know, even at that time, it hit me that, you know, we're supposed to be taking the Lord into any environment and every environment. And that's, you know, and that's, and quite frankly, that's really where I have learned the most to walk with the Lord, to overcome the obstacles, to identify the causes of things. And he's really trained me in that realm. And it's all because of, you know, I guess the occupation that he put me in this type of work. But so anyway, this week was the same tension, you know, building type thing. We're trying to get we have to turn the building over to the owner by the end of the month. And so we went through processes of getting various different inspections with the townships and all this, and just a very, you know, tense, you know, I got to make it, this has got to happen. And, you know, that all that going through. And the Lord has been supplying, taking things. The interesting thing that I've noticed is that he has allowed people, the crews, to work in such a close confines of, you know, trying to get their work done, but they have other people over here, and these people need to work in there too, and everybody has to work in this one's area, and how can we work together type thing. It's just a very, when you get crews together like that in such close confines, and you find yourself, you know, people getting angry, and, you know, I'm quitting. You guys let me know when I can come back here. I'm tired of this, you know. And then you take them over to this side and you say, okay, well, how can we work this out? Let's do this and whatever. Can you work over here at this? And we'll just do this until he's got, you know. And it's a constant coordination, dealing with people's attitudes but it's also, in a way, it's enjoyable in that it is challenging to deal with people in that way and still have to try to get through the process and actually accomplish your goal at the end. But anyway, I just had to praise the Lord. He has been with me through this whole, especially this last a couple months in the process as we're going through. I wasn't in the call on Tuesday because I was literally working there. I think I worked there till 9 o'clock at night or something like that. We were finishing up stuff and had crews working late. But the grace is there, and it's a blessing. Even though it's a struggle at times, it's exciting to see how God works in the backgrounds of people's lives and just meshes things together. And even though you don't see it, the scripture came to me today as I was thinking. Man's heart, and I think this is a proverb, but man's heart devises the way, but the Lord directs the steps. And commit thy way unto the Lord, I think it's in Psalms, and he will bring it to pass or something like that. But it's been a constant last few weeks of exactly that. Knowing there's so many times that I've gone in, I said, this is not going to work. You can't do these two things at the same time. It will not work. It will not work. The crews are going to blow up. Somebody's going to get angry and, shut it down and whatever. But both things had to be done. And lo and behold, I don't know how God does it, but things just coordinate and work. He makes us overcomers in the process. So I just have to praise him for his guidance and his constant support, even in the things that we don't see. So anyway, I guess I'm through babbling. This is the week, by the way, we get our final township inspection on Wednesday next week. And that's the certificate of occupancy, then, and the owner's able to move in. So, hopefully that will go well. Not hopefully, it will go out well, like everything else has. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. Is this a house?
It's a theological seminary library, is what it is.
Okay, sounds really interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it was good. Lord has taught me a lot through this process.
Amen.
Anyway, amen.
Okay, expanding your horizons. Okay, you know what else? I want to just say something to y'all and everybody listening. The Lord there's a lot of tests going on out in the fellowship here and out here in the outreach too. And how you come out of these tests determines whether or not you're going to be in the bride. And I'll tell you something that's involved, and that's faith. And that faith is hinged on hinged on where you are with the Lord. And the ones who come through this test that we're all in is the ones that the Lord's going to use in a mighty, wonderful way. And I can tell you that there's a lot of things going on even now as we speak that God is showing us and teaching us that are not conditional, that's the wrong word. It is pivotal in our walk with the Lord, and that is faith. And what faith is believing when you pray that it's happening. When you pray that it's happening, then it's happening, and you start speaking that it's happening. Without doubt, then you're going to have it. You've already gotten it. That's just part of it. And that's what the Lord is teaching us right now, is that you speak by faith those things that you want or need, let me put it that way, whether it be spiritual or whether it be physical. And you speak it into existence, then the angels are making sure it's going to happen. Unless you're not serious about your faith. And by that I mean you don't back up on your faith and start, sure, I don't know if God heard me or not. He hears you. Who's in you? God. He hears everything that you pray. Don't back up at all. Always hang in there and believe and endure in your faith to the end. Listen, there were prophetic utterances hundreds and hundreds of years before they ever took place. Remember, the prophets spoke things that didn't come to pass for a long time. So just because it doesn't come to pass when we think it ought to, doesn't mean that it's not true. Now just remember that, because God is not a liar. He's going to fulfill what his word says that he'll do. His name depends upon it. And so that's kind of where we are right now. That's the ones that God can use, because you're not going to back up on, oh, it's that bus is up to hill. That bus has already started up to hill, glory to God. Whatever the bus is. And that's why it's imperative. We're not in the times. This is biblical times we're in. You know what I'm saying when I say biblical times? These are going to be written down. These times from this point on, from actually some time ago on, are going to be written down in the annals of the heaven, of the end times prophetic operation of his bride. And the things that we do, the things that the Lord helps us to do, gets us to do. So it's imperative that you understand. You know what makes good faith? Get rid of self and allow Jesus to come up. You don't have any more anointing than that. What hinders our anointing is our flesh. That's the only thing. And what we consider a time limit for our prayers. You know, time limit on our prayers, for goodness sake. When, you know what happens when the Lord has told us it's going to happen soon, 12 years ago. You know what I'm talking about? That's where he doesn't operate in time. Not at all. He operates in our faith and his love for us. And that's kind of all I wanted to say. I just want to make sure that you understand it. That I understand too. And that's the reason I say it, is because when you say things, you know, it helps yourself too when you say it. So always confess always the good report and never the bad report. Okay, did anyone not receive that email I sent out a while ago? Because I'd like to go over some of it, if not all of it. It's only 16 pages long, but it is full of LUB. How many of you know what LUB stands for? Yeah, there you go, Missy. Yeah, that's it, Vanita. I don't know if I can do that or not. That's pretty cool. How's that? That's even better. Look at her. I might work better than you, Missy. No, yours is better. Hey, look, Marissa, Jared, and Jesse are here. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, girl. All right.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Sorry if I have an echo. I'm in a quiet room outside of Jesse's room, but I kind of just wanted to share a quick little testimony kind of about what you were saying. First, I guess I also want to confess and ask for, you know, forgiveness, because right now we're in a, you know, a trial of our faith right now. And it's hard when you keep seeing, you know, things in your flesh, and there's a lot of emotions that you have to keep casting down. It's hard to not agree with the bad report. And so I'm really thankful for the reminder, Michael, but I wanted to share this testimony, that kind of goes alongside of with like confessing and, the good report. So, a couple months ago while I was pregnant and we're in this trial for, you know, believing for healing, well, that our baby is already healed. But Jared was outside. He was wanting to have a fire, and he had been out there for like an hour or two, and like there was one little flame that was kind of just hanging out there, and he was like praying, and he was like, I want to have faith and believe that this fire is gonna like catch and that it's gonna be a big fire. And I went out there like an hour later, and he'd still been out there, and it was kind of cold, and I was kind of just like, what, I was like, what's going on with your fire? Like, it looks kind of sad. And he was just like, well, I'm just, you know, I really feel it on my heart that I'm going to pray and just believe that I don't, you know, that the Lord's going to make this fire go. And I was like, and that, like, it's sad that we said a prayer together. And then like, you know, I got in my own work. So I kind of didn't realize how serious about this that he was. And I saw one little stick nearby, and I was like, oh, I wonder if like I could put that stick by the flame that would help it catch fire. And so I like moved it, and he looked at me and he goes, Marissa, didn't you just hear the prayer I said? Like, I want the Lord to do this. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I like asked for forgiveness, you know, and I like moved the little stick away. And so we were out there for like an hour more, and like it was still this little flame, and Jared and I were talking, and we were just like talking about like trying to encourage each other and things like that. And anyways, I was like, okay, well, I'm tired. I'm going to go inside. And like I said, it's about a couple hours at this point, one little flame. And I had a blanket out there, and I was like, here, do you want this blanket? And he was like, no, he was like, this fire is about to start. And I was just like, okay. And so like, I started walking, and like, I get 10 feet away, and I hear this yell of excitement. And I look back, and this fire was full blown, like a burning bush, like it really was. And we were just like, and it looked like the wood was like completely black, like it had been charred for hours. It was amazing. And so we thanked the Lord. We like lifted our hands up and praised the Lord. And I think back on that, and I even said, wow, Jared, it's like a burning bush. And he was like, you know, Marissa, when I got out here this night, he was like, I asked the Lord for something like he said, he specifically had said like burning bush experience, which is so wild that the Lord just really provided that. And so I feel like we're using that, or I just feel like it's a good reminder of where we are right now. Like we're in, you know, for those who don't know, we're in the NICU with our baby, and we've been here for like 6 weeks now. And, but praise the Lord, Jesse is already a miracle. The doctors told us that he only had like one lung when he was first like, ultrasounded in my belly, and like, praise the Lord, he's got two lungs and he's breathing on his own. Now he was on this ventilator and all these things. And, right now we're basically, it feels like that one scripture that says like endure in the trial of your faith, and that it produces, you know, perseverance. And so just like you said, Michael, like, I gotta, you know, Lord, help me to speak the good report. You know, not to, like right now they're starting to do like feedings, and he's kind of like, he was having these vomiting episodes, but not anymore. He's healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I just need to keep confessing the good report. And, like you said, just keep enduring in our faith. So just want to thank the Lord, and thank you guys, everyone, for praying. I really appreciate it. And I love Amen. You guys.
Amen. All right, let's pray for Jesse right now. And I want everybody to focus on that baby. Just focus on him, because I'm fixing a prayer of faith that's going to bring him up out of there and take him home in the name of Jesus, Father. And that's because of y'all's faith, everybody's faith here, not just me, it's y'all. In the name of Jesus right now, we command every negative thing that has showed up on whatever it is that they got on that boy to confound them. In Jesus' name, I command every cell in that boy's life and body. I command every organ in his body. I command everything in his body to be healed, restored as new. And if it's not there, I command a miracle to be replaced in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that Jesse is healed, blessed, and fixing to go home in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that I can, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. What a powerful stroke of the Lord's power going through Jesse right now. And that's going to happen. You're going to have a baby that is completely healthy from this point on. Just believe it. I don't care what them doctors say. They don't know God. They don't know my God, our God. Thank you, Father. Oh, my goodness sake, gracious sakes alive. I'm telling you, a power of God went through me like a lightning. Just like a lightning bolt. Jesse is healed. Ain't no doubt in my mind. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Lord, you're the giver of life, and we praise you for it, Father. You didn't make this baby to be weak, sister, kind of a baby. This baby's going to be a strong baby. And not only that, you're going to make a mighty man of God out of it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for Jesse, Marissa, and Jared, in Jesus' name. Just like that fire that just all of a sudden came up like a burning bush. Jesse's going to come up and be healthy all of a sudden. Praise God forevermore. And I believe it. Glory to God. And I've got my faith and my eyes on that boy because I know it's done. Praise God forevermore. Woo, I wish somebody would get excited because that baby is healed. Glory to God. He is. Amen. Woo, my. Well, look for it, Marissa, because it's done, girl. It's done.
Amen. I believe it. Hallelujah. It's done. He's already been healed. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, he has. He's already been healed. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Joe, you have something? Go ahead, brother.
While you're praying, I was imagining just a baby. I didn't see Marissa. I just see the baby. And the next moment, his arms were just wide like this. The baby's arms.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I told you, he's a mighty little boy of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Ooh, my. Just a burst of power went through me like a lightning bolt. I knew he was here then. That's a good sign. How many of you know we don't need a sign? We just need the word of God. But that's a good one. I got on to you. All right. Anybody else? That's faith. When we all put our faith together, God knows it and he's going to do something. He always does. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I just wanted to share something I've been going through for a little bit. And it's like a trial of my faith. It's a trial. Y'all know lots of times, you know, a trial of your faith, lots of times the enemy will attack you with condemnation and doubt and unbelief and all that kind of stuff. And so the story is both my grandsons have birthday parties 2 weeks apart. And Mavericks is his first birthday party. And so Lord willing, I'm going to go to that. And I told Matt that I wasn't going to go to Ryder's. And the Lord's been really speaking to me about, maybe a week ago now, or maybe not quite that long ago. Just, it's like, it's like I feel like I'm being tested. If you love mother or father or, you know, blah, 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 more than me, you're not worthy of me. And if you don't hate your mother and father, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and Lord, we left all, you know, but we know that we're going to gain 100-fold. And, but anyway, I just feel like I've been going through this test of the Lord testing me if I'm going to make my family my grandson an idol in the respect that I don't obey the Lord. And like from the get go, I didn't feel to go to Ryder's birthday party, because it's so close to Mavericks and Mavericks is his first one. But anyway, and that one, I'm not even absolutely clear that I'm going to end up going to that because I think we got some things coming here soon that I don't know. I just sense that there may be some things that's going to keep that from happening. But anyway, so so I was trying to communicate with my son, Matt, and to talk about this and everything. And, you know, I was sending him texts and he wasn't answering or nothing like that. So I sent him a text today and asked him if he had a few minutes to talk. And he said he didn't. He was in, had meetings all day and he said that he would call me tonight. And I just followed the Lord to tell him, well, basically we weren't going to make it to, we weren't, how to put it, that going to, it wasn't going to work for us. And there's some things in there that I didn't really mention or whatever. And as part of the reasons too. But anyway, so, and I told him we'd bring along Ryder's birthday present, you know, when we come for Maverick's birthday party. Anyway, so, and he never responded then after that. And he didn't call. I told him he could still call. It'd be nice to talk to him or whatever. But anyway, and, I had asked the Lord, you know, because I sensed that the Lord was telling me that one of the things was as I asked them about staying with them, one or both of these times or whatever, for these birthday parties or whatever, and you know, of course, willing to help out and everything, and I felt like. Because I wasn't getting any response. And I was like, I just sensed that it was causing conflict between them, you know, and I told him, you know, it's okay. You know, if it doesn't work for you, and he just wasn't giving me any response. But anyway, so I asked the Lord, should I tell Matt that we're not coming? And I got this verse where it says, a kingdom divided against itself will not stand, and it's something about a household divided against itself will not stand. And I was like, wow, to me, that was like the Lord saying, yeah, just tell them you're not coming and whatever. And that don't, you know, mostly, you know, don't worry about, you know, just take the pressure off about staying with them. But anyway, so then, like, the enemy just comes in like a flood, you know, trying to condemn me and telling me, you know, well, you're playing favorites and, you know, da, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's like reasoning things out and stuff like that, you know, God's not about reason. And I was just like, and I was tired of having this on my back, the enemy constantly at me about it. And I just felt like the Lord said, just tell him you're not coming. So I did. And the enemy was just was still really attacking me. I'm like, Lord, I really need an answer from you. I got 3/4. And I said, Lord, if I was really supposed to tell him that we aren't coming for Ryder's birthday party, I don't receive any lying answers, no, you know, no witchcraft, nothing. And I cast I cast it and I got three heads for yes. That's what I was supposed to tell him. So it was just like, since then, you know, that condemnation slowly dissipated. And that's just been a real big thing that the enemy's been really at me here lately about and all. And it's just a trial of my faith, knowing, you know, like knowing for sure that you're hearing from the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for his grace to get through that, get me through it. And so, yeah, don't let condemnation come in, because that is the thing that will definitely rob your faith. You know, you keep getting this condemnation, then you know, it's like, well, did I make the right decision? That's not faith if you're back and forth about it, you know? So you just, just got, you know, I just had to keep casting it down. And I was like, okay, Lord, I need this. I need you to tell me this. So thank you, Lord, for that confirmation. So no matter what their response is, you know, to me about the whole thing, it's okay. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to have a good response. And so thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. All right, I'm going to share a praise kind of along the same subjects we're going to talk about here in a little bit. While we're doing this, y'all want to go ahead and get that attachment opened up, and we'll go over that here in a little bit as soon as this is over. Okay. Powerful song. I like that song. I forgive you. Okay. Anybody got any questions or anything they'd like to share before we get started? This is A New Kind of Love by E.W. Kenyon. It's a great little booklet. He wrote this many, many years ago. And like I would suspect that millions of these little things have gone out. And I read some of the testimonies from the people that had read this. And it's awesome what God's doing in their life. They understand that if you put love first, which puts you last, then you're walking like Jesus. All right. New Kind of Love, A.W. Kenyon. Does anybody not want to hear this? Raise your hand. I want to see them. And Ben puts his hand in his pocket. Okay. All right. Let's go with this. Love alone can give and nurture babyhood. Giving birth to a baby outside of love is a crime against the child. Huh. Every child has a right to be love born. There is no crime among all the crimes in the real of wrong like the murder of love. Love is the reason for life. When love is gone, life has lost its reason. Love is a spiritual thing. It is above reason. It's not in the reason realm. It is God invading the realm of the human. When we step out of love, we act contrary to the will of the Master. Whenever we act outside of love, we act contrary to the will of our Lord. The reason why men could not love God and love one another under the first covenant was because the heart was selfish, dominated by spiritual death. One ceases to be dangerous to others when he moves into the realm of love. Every migration out of the realm of love is into a danger land, and love becomes beautiful and very attractive as we continue to abide in love and love and let love abide in us. I wish we knew what that meant in reality in daily life. To have faith in love, greater faith than we have in any other love, greater faith than we have in any other law of life, for us to consciously know that we are living in the love realm, that we are acting as citizens should act who live in that realm, that we are taking our place as ones of love in the realm of love. I am convinced that we should have to love language, to love etiquette, and the laws that govern that wonderful kingdom. And the measure of our love is the measure of our worth to society. Man was created by love to answer the heart cry of the Father God. And man outside of love is a failure. Selfishness is the blighting curse of humans. Love stops the rust of selfishness, preserves the home and church life from decay. Marriage is wrecked by selfishness. The home life disintegrates because the husband is selfish and the wife seeks her own. The children are born and grow up in that atmosphere. They go out into life handicapped. Love is God in action. There's no love without action. God so loved that he gave. God so loved that he acted. Jesus so loved that he acted. It would be a great day in your life if you would let love loose in you. It would mean letting God loose in you. His grace then would be without limitation. Grace is love in manifestation. Increasing in love is like increasing in physical strength or knowledge. This would imply that there is a limitlessness to our ability to absorb, reveal, and give love. Love is the one thing in the human that never grows old, never wears out. It's something as imperishable as the human spirit, something so much a part of the Father that when we and the Father become united and utterly one, we pass out of the failure realm into the realm of a resurrected Christ. Glory to God. And it's been hard for us to believe in God's love for us when difficulties came into our lives. But we know now that all the abnormal things are not the product of love. They come from the adversary seeking to dethrone love in our hearts. When love governs our life, we will say nothing that injures anyone. When love governs our life, we will say nothing that injures anyone. I had to say that again. That pertains to all of us. Love in the final analysis is wisdom. It has caused us to create, invent, and search until we have discovered things that will make others happy. Love will make us thoughtful, gentle, and tender. And when we speak, there will be something in our voices that will win people to us. We will not only be earnest, but we will speak wisdom in love. When we love people, it's easy to work for them. Everything that has life longs for love. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. And it matters not how much knowledge we have. If we haven't wisdom to use it, we will be failures. When love governs our life, we will say nothing that injures anyone. We must close our natural sense-ruled eyes and through the eyes of our heart, that's our spirit, see them as the Father sees them. But as long as we see them through sense-governed eyes, we will never be able to take Jesus' place and do the love acts that Jesus did. And it's love that's going to lead us out of the web of selfishness in which we have been walking and struggling all these years. It is love that will put us over and make us winners in life's fight. We have been need conscious. And as long as we are weakness conscious and sickness conscious, faith will have no place in our lives. But when we yield ourselves to the Lordship of love, cut every shoreline that binds us to selfishness, love will put us over, make us conscious of what we are. When you receive love, you are receiving the ability of God. You are clothed from on high with God's ability. Love has led us out of the wilderness of doubts and fears into the rose-strewn fields of God's grace and omnipotence. At last, we have won. At last, we are conquerors. A home could not be destroyed if every member could be taught to take his place in love. The wife would never remember the past mistakes of the husband, nor would the husband ever remind the wife of unpleasant happenings. All the mistakes and failures of the past would be wiped out. What homes we could have. There would be no more quarreling over finances, no more bitter words, but each one would be walking in love. There has never been a divorce in a home where the husband and wife both walked in love. This is the solution of the divorce problem. When selfishness is eliminated in us and love gains the ascendancy, we will not seek out our own any longer. We will live as the Master lived in his earth walk. We will give ourselves for the redemption of the world as Jesus gave himself. We can't die for our sins, but we can live the love life for their salvation. We will slowly but surely develop into real lovers like our Lord. faith will no longer be a struggle or a thing to be desired. There isn't a thing in the new covenant or in the finished work of Christ that does not belong to you. He is able to make you all that his great heart desires you to be. You have written yourself up as a failure for the last time. From today, you step into the new ranks of the conquerors, the overcomers, the people who put things over. Let the world hear you confess what God's ability is in you. They have heard your confession of weakness and failure. Now change your song and sing the song of a victor. To walk in love is actually to live in God. Faith grows in the atmosphere of love. Faith becomes a dominating, a creative force when love really rules. We rule diseases and circumstances as we walk in love, and it's no effort to believe. Love never tries to believe, never tries to have faith. The very word love suggests faith. Love makes our faith become limitless. Our greatest difficulty has been that we forget what we are in Christ. We remember what we have been, and we remember what we were in the old life. We remember our failures, our weaknesses, and our lack, but we forget that the new creation is the end of failure because God has imparted himself to us. And it is almost impossible for a man or woman to be healed whose mind and heart are filled with hatred. We may live with a man or woman for 40 years and not truly know the person. Only love opens the heart, reveals the depth of our nature. Unless we're born of God, we will not love. We may feign love. We may try to imitate love, but we will not be successful. Love is reality. Selfishness is the outlaw in the realm of love. It breaks into that realm. It seeks to dethrone love and takes its crown. Selfishness is a robber, a bold, wicked robber. It makes men dissemble. It breaks friendships. It wrecks homes. It ruins churches. It destroys the fruit of love. There's only one force able to conquer selfishness and destroy its effectiveness in the lives of men. And that force is the new kind of love. Natural human love turns through neglect to hatred, jealousy, and murder. You know what anarchy is? It is selfishness without restraint. It is the absence of God. It is man attempting to solve life's problems and leaving God out of his reckoning. That makes him an anarchist. This Jesus kind of love, it changes getting into giving. Let me read that again. It changes getting into giving. It destroys the soil out of which selfishness finds its strength. It never unveils himself to those who do not love him. He was silent when they stripped him naked and crowned him with thorn. He reveals himself to the lover. A husband and wife who live in love would live in a heaven-like atmosphere, wouldn't they? Yeah. Children who grew up in this atmosphere would never know what quarreling and bitterness meant. Amen. You see, the man who misses love misses the most beautiful thing that life has to offer. Y'all want me to continue on? Okay. What a thrilling fact. Love so fills us that fear has no place in our life. Love lifts one out of the commonplace into the supernatural. This revelation of love is given to enable us to face the problems that are bound to confront us in these last days as victors. If we love one another even as he loved us, we will never injure anyone. We will never take advantage of anyone. We will never say anything we ought not to say or do anything we should not do. Every step out of love is a step into trouble. If you think back over your life, you'll find that every mistake you have ever made has been when you stepped out of love or acted out of love. Amen to that. The bitter words you spoke that separated you from someone you loved was a step out of love. Every time we bruise or hurt someone, we step out of love. Living in love, practicing love in everyday life will lead one into the joy of the Master. And Jesus' joy will be fulfilled in him. No one sins who walks in love. Every step out of love will be a step out of fellowship and joy. As long as one walks in love, he will never transgress against anyone. And as long as one walks in the realm of love, one has constant fellowship with the Father. Love not only shields the sinning one from your criticism and your harshness, but it also prevents the quarreling and bitternesses that would naturally follow if you have spoken your mind as we sometimes do. The moment the church leaves the love realm, Satan gains the ascendancy. Satan gains the mastery over a man the moment he stops or steps out of love. Selfishness is like a great mogul engine drawing the long train of human agony and suffering down through the ages. It's not preaching, it's loving. It's not criticizing, it's loving. And it's not new laws to stop sin or wrongdoing. It is a new kind of life that destroys sin by destroying selfishness. We must gird ourselves with love to go out and serve the unworthy and selfish. Give ourselves as he gave himself for us. How beautiful life becomes when we walk in love. What a place for babies to be born. What a place for them to play and romp and learn to walk and talk and take their place in life's great game in a home where love reigns. All this is possible. This is not poetry. This is not philosophy. This is the everyday life of the everyday man who walks in love. And love is the only reason for being. Love is the only thing that makes life rich and worthwhile. But oh, how ruthlessly love is slain. How unkindly love is starved. How thoughtlessly love is neglected and forgotten. We thought we would always remember to say the kind words and do the kind deeds in which love feeds. But in the multitude of our activities, in life's great fight, we have forgotten so many times. Amen. How we tax love to forgive our forgetfulness, to overlook the thoughtless heart, or hurt, I'm sorry. We watch over our words so that we will not do or say anything that will break the tranquility of the atmosphere of love. We speak the truth in love tenderly, gently. Out of the heart where love reigns, tender words spring into being. And they fill the air around us with the very fragrance, the aroma of heaven. We become tender-hearted and gentle with each other, even as God also in Christ has been gentle, tender toward us. We live in love. We think in terms of love, and we bless the world. We Christians have a love background. We have a love parentage. We are born of God, and God is love. And if love is your nature, selfishness is dethroned. But we are surrounded by selfishness. Everything connected with the natural life is tinged and colored by selfishness. Tinged, I guess, is the word there. You see it in the animal creation. You see it in natural man everywhere. If you followed the recreated spirit's impulses, you would live just as the Master lived, in love. but we quench the recreated spirit. We say that we are not able to do it, that we can't afford to do it. We are afraid to walk the way of love. We are afraid to depend upon the word. We are afraid to give love a free course. But we have not taken into consideration that he is with us, Isaiah 41:10. We have been afraid, and so we have quenched love until it has lost its initiative and it no longer dares to suggest action. After you have confessed your lack of love and have given love its place, you'll stop doing the things that break fellowship and spoils the gentle harmony of your home. Remember, wife, you are taking Jesus's place in that home. Husband, you are taking the master's place. This love life in you, let loose, will solve your domestic problems. Everything else has failed. Our human wisdom and our human abilities have failed. We have made life bankrupt because we did not dare to give love its place and let love have a right way. God is love, and he that loves abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, if God is abiding in you, then you have in you the solution of the problem that confronts you if you give him the right of way to solve it. Your education and your training have been unable to make you a success. If you will give love its place, things will adjust themselves. You must dare to go the way of love. It will be necessary for you to think of yourself as a lover, to see yourself in your home, in the shop, in the school, wherever you spend your time in contact with people as a lover. But you give love right away and see what happens to you. It is hard to love hypocrites, but Jesus did it, and you can too. Look at that baby. Now there's love right there. Hey, Jesse. What Jesus did, you can do because you have his nature and ability. You can give, but your eyes will condemn. You can speak loving words when the tone in your voice is so sharp and ragged that it tears and wounds. Guilty, guilty, guilty. There is a home end to your business. Unless you put love there, it will fail and break down. The cross was love's method of war on sin. The cross was love unleashed. Let loose, set free from every anchorage. It was love becoming weak and love accepting defeat. You will need love more as you grow old. Then store it up. Hoard love until the hour of need comes. You will be able to draw on it. Then you will have it. Real love will destroy all that is unreal. Sham cannot abide in the light of love. Selfishness is destroyed in the heart when love takes over life. Self-preservation is the first law of selfishness. The preservation of others is the first law of love. The strong, according to the love law, must bear the infirmities of the weak and not please themselves. Selfishness is the mother of practically all our miseries. And most of our tears are born of selfishness. Love makes one lighthearted, companionable, and helpful. The Jesus kind of love is God's cure for every ill. Love lifts one out of the realm of the senses into the realm of the spirit. Human love is the most beautiful flower that humanity has naturally, but it is a poison flower. It's caused heartaches, divorces, the broken homes, the wrecked families that disgrace our civilizations. The Jesus kind of love has never broken a home. It has never wrecked a life. It has never made a criminal out of a single child. And this in itself should awaken thinking, men and women. The moment that one becomes love-minded, he becomes broad-minded, God-minded, humanity-minded. He sees the need. His ears become attuned to catch the sign, to feel the sob of the broken hearts around him. When we become love-minded, we actually take Jesus' place. If we live in love, we begin to bear the fruits of love. The fruit of love will be in the action and the conduct and the words that are born of love. The days of hating, of jealousy, of bitterness, and revenge are past. This Jesus kind of love is the answer to the heart cry of childhood, of youth, of manhood, and of old age. It will take the bitterness out of the heart and soften the lines of the face. It will make the husband and wife more than content with their own home. This love is a home builder and a home preserver. And this is God's method of protecting marriage. This is God's method of protecting childhood and motherhood. When the Jesus kind of love gains the ascendancy in the hearts of husband and wife, no other law is necessary to preserve the home. The old human love is based upon selfishness. It can easily turn to hatred, jealousy, bitterness, and murder. But the very provocations that would make the old love turn to bitterness make the new kind of love more beautiful. It seeks not its own. It bears with all kinds of persecutions and bitterness and never sinks to the level of its provocator. Love promotes health. God is love. God is my healer. Love is the healer. And now I can understand why bitter thoughts upset the stomach and disturb the circulation of the blood. I can understand now that there is only one sin for the believer, and that's to step outside of love. All other sins are the children of the mother sin of sins. And learn to think in terms of love. Learn to give in love so that the background of your life, the mother of your actions, is love. This Jesus kind of love. Get love's language. Learn it. Let it displace the language of the world. He loved, you love. He died for them, you live for them. He is in you, the lover of men, loving through you. It's giving love its place in life. Love must be first. The believer moves in love. It is the center of his being. And love has all the earmarks of Jesus. It is a love that covers up the failings and weaknesses of those about it. It never talks unkindly, never bears a tale. It is the unfeigned love that lovers from the heart fervently, that love from the heart fervently. A love that lifts us out of the commonplace into its own realm. Natural human love is born of selfishness. And when that selfishness is thwarted, it becomes miserable. We believe in the person we love, and it's hard for us to doubt where love has found a nesting place. It will be a victorious hour when we learn to believe in love. And it's something that lifts us into a realm above the senses where we trust in an unseen force, glory to God. If you trust in love, you trust in God, because God is love, and then it's following God. We will go where love leads. We will do what love suggests, and that's the way Jesus lived. He followed love. We set aside the things that we once craved for love's sake, for we are going down the path of love. It may be thorn-filled or it may be strewn with roses, but we will follow love. What'd y'all think of that? Anybody got any comment? Anybody got any negative comments? Let me see your hand. I'll tell you what, it makes you think. It made me think a lot about the things that has gone on in the past. What if we had all been in love when we first got married and started raising kids like Marissa, Jared, and Jesse are doing right now. They started with that love potion, you know, of Jesus, and brought our kids up in that love. Those are the things that make you wish you could start over again, but We are where we are now. The only thing we do now is show them the love that God has put in us. That will bring them to the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this? Or was it just me just reading? Oh boy, this ain't good. Yeah, Julie.
Bonnie, go first.
Hey, I just wanted to share something that the Lord has been revealing to me. I've shared a bit about my trials and struggles and my learning curve with raising up my children and training up my boys to walk after Christ and the likeness of Christ, right? And right now, what I tell them to do plays a huge role in it. And I've read a lot of good books about children and how to train them up in a godly manner. But as Michael was reading this booklet, I started to realize that recently the Lord has really been impressing me with things that I need to ask him to overcome in me, specifically impatience, that is also hindering my children from being able to fulfill the things they need to do on their part as I train them. And as I've been thinking about this over the last couple of days, I've started to realize that all the books that I read, they are good for laying down a law, but none of those authors are going to stop and explain to you what it means to show mercy to your child when he's failed you for the fifth time and you are really losing patience with him because he should know it by now. They just don't talk about this. I mean, they talk about loving your children and cuddling your children and, you know, being a balanced parent. But nobody can teach you love and mercy and grace and forgiving your child and laying the law aside for a minute like the Holy Spirit can. And so this little booklet has really, I read it a few weeks ago when Michael first sent it out. It really had me thinking on love, on how to show more and more love to my children. And love will override, it will overcome their failures. And it will also give me more grace to overcome my failures as a mom, as all of us continue to grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, for such precious words and precious reminders like this booklet.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lana. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
No, God got me to thinking of this little Lutheran boy that lived two doors down. And he wanted to be my friend. So he tried to tell me about grace and stuff, you know. And I was as Catholic as ever could be, you know. But I'm sure that he told his parents because, you know, his grandparents lived downstairs and the parents lived upstairs with his sister and this little boy. I forget his name. But he came and tried to tell me about grace because I guess he didn't go outside too much. I guess the parents didn't want him to play with the other kids. Anyways, you know, I said to him, no, law's got something to do about it. You know, let's go check with the other kids. You know, he won the argument, you know. But I sort of walked beside him, and he was, as we left the other kids, and I just told him, you know, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what you were talking about. I wasn't against him or anything. You know? And, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, you know, that he would want to do that, you know, he prayed for him, you know. And then, you know, there's a, when you ask the Lord, how come you didn't show me this sooner? You know? It was this 16-year-old kid that did the same thing when I was 13. And I brought my friend to him because he was supposed to meet him there, where the bank was. And I said, oh, that's the bank I use. So I went and showed him where it was, you know. So here's these two 13-year-old kids and the 16-year-old taking us for a walk. He had a Bible in his hand and took us down to a few blocks one way and then a few blocks the other way and then a few blocks, just a big, he started witnessing to us and talking about the Bible and God, you know. I didn't understand a word he was saying. I can remember this happening, you know. And then we got to the Garden of Provinces and he asked me, so what did you think? Because I guess he finished saying everything. So I stood up there and I said, you know, I don't really understand anything you were saying, but there's one thing I'm really impressed about. You're such a young guy, and you talk about the Bible, and you have a Bible, and you talk about God to other people. And he was witnessing. He came to witness to Mark, my friend. I had it as a child, but you know, at least you know that there was someone out there in my time. And I'm sure he prayed for me and whoever his friends were, you know. And another time I remember going Fellowship of Christian Athletes in my high school. You will not have such a facility anywhere here in Ottawa like that now. And I was there bouncing the basketball. They were all joining in hands and I was just bouncing the ball around them, you know, going in a circle as they were praying. And I can just know what they were praying for. And little to say that it took maybe 10 to 11 years after for those prayers to be answered. And that's the love of God, you know. And, you know, I started working at the university I worked for. The person who was 1 year older than me took him 4 years to come over. But then, you know, he could have, he had a same background at the church that I had it. Maybe within those 4 years, he got saved too. So that's when it finally happened. And so it's the wanting to bring this very important love, you know, to other people. And in each case, it was someone my own age. I don't think it really is necessary for that, but you know, I was just saying to Ben, you know, like once one of these kids that I see on Friday playing on the floor there, once they get in this love and have a good witness or a good testimony to say, I think all those kids are going to come in one after another, you know, because they're going to notice something different about this boy or this little girl, whatever, whoever she is at the fellowship there. I don't know where they're at or what they think, you know. But, you know, I know it could happen when you're 9 years old because if a Lutheran boy would try to come and give me grace, you know, that's just amazing. Yeah, so, you know, I was telling Ben earlier today, you know, the love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. But really, they're all the other fruits. Have to combine with that one anyway, whether it's the joy or the peace, all the way down to the self-control. And again, it's should be all manifested through us. So we have to walk in love. What is it? Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God. As beloved children, walk in love. So, yeah, it's what we really need to be focused on the Lord. Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Someone has to pray to give us opportunity for doors to be open and stuff. From the Lord to for love to reign and love to go forth. Father God, I just pray for your love to permeate from us, to flow out of us. You're the one in charge of all this love, Father. We're supposed to manifest and show forth this love wherever we're at, whatever we have. Father, I pray that it would manifest and shine forth out of us. If it can shine forth out of little children, out of teenagers, out of people in their late 20s, to complete strangers, Lord, and work. And you to have us growing in that too, and for others to grow in this wonderful love, Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Father, guide us, lead us, and keep us in this love all the time. It's eternal, Father. It's your eternal word. It's an eternal love. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Father, I just continue on with this prayer that Andrew started, and I thank you, Father, for putting in us the life of Christ, because he didn't have a selfish bone in his body. And Father, we thank you that we keep our eyes on him and learn from his actions and his walk. And Father, that we would emulate the Lord Jesus in our walk with that love, because that love is what draws people to the light of the gospel. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? I just cast all selfishness down right now in the name of Jesus. All selfishness, self-aggrandizing spirits go in Jesus' name. And anything not of God to leave our personalities, our tone, our whole being, and let nothing come out but the word of God, the love of God. And let people marvel at the change that's in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Father God, all things are possible for you. Whenever we spoke your word, whenever we gave any sort of small witness, whatever it may have been, Father, I pray that you would magnify it in love. Whenever we mentioned you, even in passing, just to some person, or at our workplaces, some of us might be retired now. When we mention the Lord, just, Lord, we ask that you magnify your love and your word, for there's power, power in your word and power in your love, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Father. The Lord put us in our heart, put it in our hearts to only speak the things that are of love. And no negative, no curses, none of that come forth out of our mouth, Lord. Let it all be from love, the love of Christ in our heart, Lord. I thank you for your overcoming power of the Holy Spirit that helps us do this, Lord, and brings to our remembrance to always think before we talk in Jesus' name. And I praise you for that, Father, in the name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn.
I just wanted to thank you for sending that out in my prayer time this afternoon. At the end of my prayer time, I was reading 1 Corinthians 13. The Lord is just really putting that on my heart a lot. And this little teaching really expounds a lot of what's in that chapter in 1 Corinthians. And, you know, as we go through things, as we get assailed by the enemy, you know, trying to get us into a wrong thought, a wrong attitude, you know, a wrong emotion, towards one, towards someone, trying to get you to just take the bait. So many times, you can just stop that by, that verse in 1 Corinthians 13 that says, as we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, love thinks no evil. And I've been, that's something that has helped me a lot. But there's an old hymn that was written back during the Azusa Street Revival called Deeper, Deeper. And one of the stanzas of that was, deeper, deeper, though it cost hard trials, deeper let us go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let us fruitful grow. And, I've seen that, it's not until you're faced with these trials that, you have the opportunity to make the decision and bear forth the fruit of Christ, to reject the wrong thought, the wrong attitude, the wrong emotion, the opportunity to speak, the opportunity to defend yourself. Without the trials, I'm thankful for the trials that help us to grow. That's all.
Amen. That's wonderful that he gets you in the love chapter. Awesome. Thank you, Father. Anyone else? Want a prayer or comment? I'll repent. I repent of saying the wrong things at the wrong time. And of course, when is the right time? There ain't no right time when you say the wrong thing. Thank you, Father, for cleaning up our mouth to speak only as you spoke and to stop and to have us to stop and think about what we're going to say before we say it in order not to hurt someone. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I command Thunis jesting out of here in the name of Jesus. Sometimes Thunis jesting goes into hurting people. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else want to speak or comment on what we just read? Yeah, Julie.
I was just thinking how selfishness is really, me first and all that, how really that is at a root of why we say and do things or how we treat somebody or not do something or whatever. But then I was thinking also that scripture says that we should be quick to hear and slow to speak. And I was just thinking, being quick to hear is listening to what somebody's saying and hearing the Holy Spirit as well. To lead you in how to respond, if at all, because sometimes it's just a matter of, whomever it is, responding to you or treating you in such a way, because there's obviously a problem, right? And, if you let love take over, a kind word. I'm trying to think of the scripture about kind words, something about being slow to wrath. I can't think what it is right now, but how our words can put out fires, how our words can turn a situation around. And when it's done with love, granted, there are some people who are just not going to be changed, but if you have any influence, Christ in you having any influence over that person, situation, God will do it. But a lot of times this is a persecution to your flesh, and that's, what we have to go through too. The crucifixion and suffering for the, for love's sake, because that's what Jesus did, you know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do when doing all manner of evil to him. And all he did was good. You know, we're all learning, and it is by grace and faith that we have his attribute of love, and that's who we are. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I had a testimony off of this booklet here. And what had happened, the husband had gotten a hold of this little booklet years ago. And he started reading it, or he read it, and he started applying it in his life with his wife. And she noticed the difference, and she kept watching him, you know. What is different about him? And selfishness had gone. He was sacrificing, you know, his desires for the people around him and loving them. And she told him one day, she said, "Honey, I want what you've got. What is it about you?" And he said, "Well, let me show you this little booklet that I read, and I'm just following along with what it says." And she got it, and she read it, and she applied it, and they had a wonderful, wonderful relationship after that. And people marveled at the change in both of them. And that's what love of Christ can do. We don't understand. We haven't been taught love, have we? We haven't been taught to love. That selfishness, Jesus was not selfish. He gave his life for us. He could have brought down legions of angels down on that bunk. And how many of us would have? I tell you what, Lord, bring them down here and get rid of this bunch of the yahoo. But he didn't. He knew he had a job to do. And he had to do that in order for us to get up here. That is selfishness out the door. He loved us when we weren't lovable. When we were nothing but a bunch of, you know, heathens. But he knew. He knew what we were going to do. Even if it took most of our life trying to figure out where we were, selfishness and all of that garbage coming out of our mouth. And finally, we come to the point where we want God more than we want self, because what we've had in the past hadn't worked. The only thing that works is Jesus. That's the only thing that works. When you got Jesus in your life and you understand the love that he had for us, and guess what? He lives inside of us, so he's going to help us. The power of the Holy Spirit is in us. That's the power that brought Jesus up out of the grave. That's all the power in the universe. And he can help us. All we've got to do is ask him. Thank you, Father, for helping us be overcomers of selfishness, overcomers of hate, bitterness, overcomers of just so self, Lord, and I thank you for it. Help us to guard our words, to only speak the love of Christ, and to do like that man did that Kenneth Hagin talked about that I've told before. They could never get him to say nothing bad about anybody. The worst bully in the town. Worst bully in town. He's always hurting somebody. And finally they had somebody, I think it was a sheriff, shot him. And they asked him, "Well, what'd you think about old so-and-so?" And everybody else was saying, "Yeah, praise the Lord, he's dead," you know, and that kind of stuff. You know what this guy said? When they asked him, he said, "Well, what do you think about him, Joe?" He said, "Oh, he had pretty blue eyes, didn't he?" Turned around and walked off. He wasn't going to say anything bad about anybody. Not anyone. Lord, get me to that point. get all of us to that point to where we won't say anything bad about anybody. That we can always, like you told us to do, see the good in them. See Jesus in them, whether they're showing it or not. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. He got pretty blue eyed. All right, anyone else? What do you think of it, Isaac? Oh, put him on the spot. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I love you.
Gosh.
I love you, brother. Oh, my. Okay. Okay. Isaac said he loved it. Is there anything that anybody wants to comment on about this little booklet and about our life that we live now from this point on, hopefully, not all prayerfully, that we will all grab a hold of this love thing and do like Marilyn did, going to, what is it, 1 Corinthians? Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And read that chapter and keep this booklet handy. I'm going to keep this booklet real handy. Because what do you think the biggest hindrance that he brought out in this booklet was? Anybody have a clue? Somebody said it a while ago. Yeah, Missy.
Selfishness,
yeah, that's the key right there. Yeah, why you say that, huh?
Because it's true. I mean,
yes, it is.
You know, the Lord put something in me years ago. You know, there's nothing more miserable than thinking about yourself. And if you're thinking about yourself, you know. You know, it's all about you and always fighting for yourself and not thinking about others. That's not love.
Amen. All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking to myself that when I grew up as a boy, I'll be try to be short. When I grew up as a boy, I always heard about this divorce and wars and everything. And I said to myself, I want to be a better than that people. I want to be the best husband a wife could ever have. And when I grew up and I married and I divorced, and I thought to myself, that's exactly it. It's all I want to be. It's not about what God to be. So I haven't arrived yet. I'm still learning every day. But the first thing we have to grow up with in life has to be love, not discipline, not anything else. Has to be love. Has to be. It has to be your most innermost being. It has to be that. Everything else will come to that. Why I'm saying that is now what I'm learning with all my family. Yeah, as the love we have, Jesus had for his father, he was in constant prayer. All that hurt and that pain and everything you've gone through, it's because of love. And I haven't arrived yet. But just to understand how God forgives me, and each time I fail you, my disobedience, my ignorance, how he forgives me each and every time because he loves me. Just try to keep doing your best and that God doing it in you, not because most of the times I'm trying to be myself. I want to show my love. And God says, I am love. I'm always, if I haven't spoken through you, worked through you, you haven't got love. You only got a fleshly love, but shows you love is, it contains so much. it's not just what you see. It's what you walk, how you do, and most of all, it's your obedience. Sorry, that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Amen, Joe. Amen. I believe selfishness is the main culprit. You know, I hate to look back on my life when you talk about selfishness. Good gracious. But God, right? But God. All right, anyone else? Who's that 540? Anybody know who the 540s? Oh, Tim. Hi, brother. He didn't want me to call him out, I guess. I love you. Amen. Good to have you with us, Tim. It's been a while. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else want to talk about love? All right. What you want to talk about?
Mike?
Yeah, Tim.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay. I just figured out how to unmute this thing. Yeah.
Okay, brother. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. We're doing great. You missed a good deal. I'll tell you what. Did you get that booklet I sent in the email?
Yeah, I've got it twice now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I sent it out a few weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, I read it then.
Okay. Well, praise God. Now we read it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been on since about 8:15, 8:10.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I just saw you down there. Well, I've been reading those.
I've been here for, I've been on for over an hour and a half.
Oh, my. Well, I'm sorry, brother. I love you. I missed you. I just missed you.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'll be talking to you again.
Okay. Well, I know that's right. Praise God. I'll be glad when you and Chris can come down for pot blessings. That'd be awesome.
I'm looking forward to that, man.
Okay. All right.
But at my age, it's a little hard to make it a one-day trip.
Yeah.
Well,
come
help.
On down. Y'all can come down and stay with us. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Well, uh-huh. Now I just shut him up,
didn't you? About that.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah, it's like, man, Dave, we got a spare bedroom up over the garage there.
Yeah, I spent a few nights there.
Yep, I remember now that I've not seen you mention it.
Yep.
All right. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you too, brother.
Yeah.
Now, how do I mute? The same star six?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I can mute you.
Goodbye, y'all. Be blessed.
See you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, he did it. Okay. Now, Vanita, he lives over in Virginia. You'd have to go all the way over there and then come back. But if you'd like that, I'd be fine. You know what I mean? All right, anyone else? As we talked about earlier, love and faith are hand in hand. That's a part of it. When you've got Christ's love, that means your flesh is dead. And when your flesh is dead, you got You got the faith of God. You have the faith of God because you trust God. You know God. You're experiencing the love that He's put in you. Because you're not going to disobey Him by going against His word. You're living the life that He has, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you pray for somebody, they're either going to be healed, delivered, or set free some kind of way. How many of you know we're in exciting times? I'm telling you, we are in exciting times. And it ain't going to do nothing but get more exciting. They've been, just keep praying Psalm 91 over your family and yourself. Yeah, Nick.
The one exciting thing I'm excited about is everlasting life.
Yeah. Amen. That's exactly right, brother. When you got Jesus, you got eternal life, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, don't get them teeth taken out, because you'll lose your wisdom if you do that. Yeah. Praise God. I'm just kidding you, Nick. You can do whatever you need to do, brother. Yeah, I see one here. Missy says, Jesse is adorable. Yes, he was. Yeah, look at him. This other book, Blood Covenant, is also really good. I don't guess I've read that one. I think. He's got a bunch of good books. All right, anyone else? We got 5 minutes left here. What y'all want to talk about? We can't talk about David because he's been talked about enough. Bless his heart. Lord, let's pray for David, okay? Y'all want to pray with me for David? Father God, we just lift up David, our shepherd. And we thank you, Father, for lifting all burdens off of him. We command any kind of oppressive spirit off of him. Lord, we thank you for infusing him with your love. And that love would come out in him as well, Lord, as it has so many times in the past. And Lord, we thank you that you're utilizing him as you call it. Lord, you're just going to use him in a mighty way. I know that. You've already told me that you're going to use him in a mighty way. And Father, we just thank you for this good man of God that you've given us as our shepherd. We thank you for all the wonderful teachings you've given him. And I know there's going to be more. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that every prayer that he prays is answered, because I'm going to put my faith with his, and his people here will too, that all of his prayers are answered in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for blessing him with me. Even if he only gets 2 hours of sleep at night, that it would be refreshing and supernatural energy and strength in his body, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anybody else want to pray for David? Amen. Lord, we thank you that I know that you're going to use him mightily in the days to come. Mightily in the days to come. And I praise you and I thank you, Father, for the things that you're even using him for now that is just beyond anything that I could have imagined. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for hooking David and I up as brothers in Christ. He's been a real good brother. And I pray that I've been a real good brother to him, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we both do the things that you want us to do immediately when you want us to do them. And I thank you, Father, for opening his ears and mine too, and everybody here's ears to listen to the supernatural, to hear the supernatural giftings of your voice, Lord, in our lives. That when we ask you to talk with us, that you'll sit down and talk with us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'd rather talk to you, Lord, than I had an angel. Thank you, Father. I'm not saying anything against you, angels. You angels have been good for us, Lord of God. You're a blessing, every one of you. Bruce is right outside the door. Ariel is in here with me. He stays in here with me. And then Jeriel's on the other side over there. And I keep forgetting that guy's, that angel's name down by the water fountain. And then I've got five more, and David's got six more in here that does the work. And y'all got them too. Y'all got them too. Everybody here's got them. Because you're claiming to be in the bride. When you're going to be in the bride, you got to have them. Start sending them out to do the work. Lord, we pray the Lord of Harvest find people to go around our people that we have been praying for to come into the kingdom, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for running them in front of them, that they'll listen and bring them to Christ. We praise you for that, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yeah. All right. What is today? Today's Thursday, isn't it? Is next week the last Thursday? Is it? Yeah, okay. Oh, wait a minute. I got a calendar right here. Lord of God. Yeah. All right. Next week, next Thursday is, somebody just showed me that, Judy. Yeah. That's pretty neat. I didn't know you had that calendar down here. I kept getting up, going back there, looking on the wall to the calendar. And she said, well, you got one right there on your lower right hand corner. I said, I didn't even know. I ain't got no calendar down there. I went down there and sure enough, there's a big old nice looking calendar there, boy, that I can see. And I can scroll down and go to any month I want to. Did y'all know you had that on your computer? Oh, y'all making me feel bad. I didn't know I had to see it. Okay. Thank you, Father, for giving me wisdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us this night. Let us all sleep real good. And Father God, I thank you that when Joe goes to sleep tonight again, if he goes to sleep, he'll sleep soundly, and you're going to give him good dreams, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody here also. And I thank you, Father, for your love that you've placed in our hearts for each of us. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless our stream tomorrow night. Bless our fellowship tomorrow night. It's going to be an awesome one. I guarantee you it's going to be awesome, because we're going to do something tomorrow night that we have never done since I've been here. Yeah. We got tickets at the office. Just call me. See y'all. Oh, no, it's going to be good. Okay. Let me stop this.